All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
When you conquer the grill of the evil unicorn, Transformers, more than meets the eye. Transformers, robots in the sky.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 64.
That is getting a little old. I think we need to think about something new, something fresh perhaps for the future.
You know, there's a new intro coming down the pipe.
Is there?
Yeah, we're working on it right now.
Wow.
I don't know when. Probably not until after San Diego sometime.
Who's this we you speak of?
We, me and the technical crew of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right. The techies, as we like to call them.
Yes. Not as opposed to the Mexicans.
Oh, no. They are the product archive specialists.
That's right.
Entirely different breed. They're more like Oompa Loompas than tech staff.
That's really a great metaphor, really.
I know. Well, that's me, you know. You know, the OG, he's got the good metaphors.
OG with us tonight, of course.
Of course.
Mr. Fantastic, pushing buttons and switches and things, returned from his bender last week. And I, of course, am your host with the most, Big Kev. Is that the worst expression ever? The host with the most?
It's only a bad expression if you use it.
There you go.
Sorry.
Terrific. Welcome back, Fantastic.
Yeah. Jeez, now I feel better.
Thanks, guys.
just feel a little bit more natural.
Aren't you supposed to be working on solving some problem over there?
Yeah. Who else?
We do have a guest in the studio tonight.
We do. We have a very big fan of the show, who is also a rabid fan of all things geek, but specifically Transformers. He is my Transformers go-to guy.
Micabus Prime.
Yep, Micabus Prime, exactly.
Welcome to the studio, Micabus.
Good evening, gentlemen.
So we have Micabus here with us tonight. Are we really going to call him Micabus?
Micabus Prime.
God, that's almost as bad as BAC. What the fuck is BAC?
I'm sorry, I got the letters. It was the heat.
Anyway,
I did refer to the bad mother Knucker as BAC for the entire run of his appearance on our show last week.
You did. It was pretty. The heat, I think. I'm chalking it up to the heat, too. I'm going to let you go on that.
There was a lot of problems with the heat and
everything.
Boy. So I think we should just apologize about it. Episode 63. It's too darn hot again.
Again.
So,
obviously we have Mikey here in the studio with us tonight because we will be discussing Transformers later in the show.
Oh, yippee.
We did do the midnight showing at the AMC at Garden State Plaza. Thank you all.
We want to thank Frank Shearer for having us up there at the AMC 16 in Paramus.
I'd like to thank
Garden
Andrew.
State. And Andrew, yes.
He was wonderful.
He was a big help to us also. We got to meet and greet with a lot of people, about some stuff.
Of course.
And, you know, it was
Peter Gibbons, for example.
Yeah, it's true, Peter Gibbons. Unbelievable. There are a lot of great midnight shows provided by AMC theaters that are local to you, so you might want to check your listings for AMC midnight shows. Of course, if you come to the ones in Paramus and or Clifton, New Jersey, you may catch us hosting those. You might have different hosts or no hosts in your area.
Right.
But check out the AMC theaters just the same. It's a quality theater company.
It sure the hell is. Am I supposed to go on with the news now? Is that what this is?
If you want. We could just sit here and talk about stuff.
Well, I figure tonight we're going to probably have to bring out a couple of the old stingers. You know, some of the beds and stingers we have lying around. I mean, at the very least, we know one, right?
Right.
But let's get this one out of the way. I just want to get it out there. I've been refraining from saying this for a couple of weeks, but we do have some Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can take the sky from me.
News that I'd like to discuss.
There it is.
There it is. For all of you that missed it, perhaps you weren't sure where it had
been. And actually, didn't someone write in and...
Yeah, we teased that a little bit last episode, too. I said it. We didn't play it. Blah, blah,
on,
blah.
On one of the episodes that I was gone?
Whatever.
Well, okay.
We're
in
slackers.
That case.
Take my love. Take my land. Take me where I cannot stand. I don't care. I'm still free. You can take the sky from me.
And there's the one that I'm owed.
Okay,
thank you very much.
So it's made up now. I can move on with what I want to talk about regarding that wonderful show.
The house is square.
All right. So there's a website online. I believe it's breakingatmo.com.
Okay.
It was a group of fans of the Joss Whedon series and movie who were trying
Wait, which
to
Joss
get,
Whedon series?
I'm not saying it. Serenity. And
that was
a television
series.
Show based on Serenity.
There wasn't a television show based on Serenity.
I know, but I said it once, and you got your little revenge one, so go screw yourself.
All right,
I like
saying,
them apples.
You're just making it confusing to people.
Am I?
I think you are.
BreakingAtmo.com. It's a group of people that were trying to get the DVDs of the television series and the movie Serenity onto the shuttle and into the space station for the astronauts to watch. Apparently, one of the astronauts is a big brown coat up there, and they successfully got both the full set and the movie up there for them to watch while in space.
Wow.
That was kind of funny. If
that
you check out that
funny.
Site, and actually probably you'll see it on our site too, you can see some shots of the astronauts holding up the discs, a couple of the packages for the movie and the set. So I thought that was kind of neat. And
it neat.
Just goes to show you that the movement is still strong.
That's great. I mean, I can't get behind a movement any stronger than I've gotten behind the
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can take the sky from me.
Yes, that movement.
Okay, so that's three now, right? Three and done?
Three and done.
That's the rule?
That's the rule.
We can move on?
We can.
Excellent.
As long as you stop saying it.
So Shaft, a.k.a. Richard Roundtree.
Oh, okay.
Has been added to the list. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He could be a.k.a. Samuel L. Jackson also.
He could be, but I'm going old school.
Okay, old school Shaft.
Has been added to the list of bizarro, why the fuck are you in this movie cast list for Speed Racer.
Okay.
Richard Roundtree has been cast as Ben Burns, the commentator and ex-racer. Speed Racer's hero. Aw.
Somebody likes the Shaft movies, I'm guessing.
Apparently. And again, just, I don't know how to feel about the Speed Racer movie.
It's early yet.
I really like that Mach 5, though. Did you see the pictures of the Mach 5 that was on display? Looked pretty nice.
We had it, actually, you're looking at a picture of it right now with a couple of Mattel executives.
There you go. Yeah, it's it was a pretty shiny-looking vehicle. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know about the Speed Racer movie. I think it's a wait-and-see attitude that we must adopt.
A wait-and-see attitude. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So we should probably at least mention or address the fact that the iPhone came out this past week.
We should. The iPhone, a technological marvel.
Sure.
There's only one major drawback to the iPhone as far as I'm concerned.
Well, actually, but before we get to that drawback, I think Louis C.K., summed up the iPhone very nicely when he said, it's quite possibly the best iPod ever.
Okay. Yes, that could be. That's a fairly accurate statement. Fantastic. You want to chime in on the iPhone discussion?
No. Have you guys used it?
I've seen one. Actually, some kid had one last night in
the screening
that we hosted, and I played with it for like a second. Looks awesome.
Well, Mr. Fabulous has one.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
And I played with it a little, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the best iPod ever because you have video iPod, and it, you know, does all the iPod things like sync automatically. But it's a damn good phone, too, and it has some other good little features. I mean, the biggest thing in my mind that it has against it is the price point and people who aren't used to paying $500 and $600 for their phones every 2 years are, you know, have been acting really surprised. But it's not the only $500 or $600 phone out there.
Oh, no, certainly not.
But
it's just the best one out there.
I really do think it is. I mean, it's got the interface is like no other. You know, even that Razer that I have now or what's the one that you got?
I have the Envy, the LG Envy.
Yeah. It just seems like those are kind of like toys compared to how you interact with the iPhone.
Oh, sure.
It's just a more intuitive, you know, very obviously touchy-feely experience where you see it, you touch it, and that's about it. But that interface isn't without its problems either. What were you going to say as a drawback?
I say right now, based on my experience with the iPhone, and that experience includes what I've read and what I've seen and touched it and messed with it a bit,
et cetera.
I consider that virtually none, but go ahead.
The major drawback
yeah.
is the fact that you have to have AT&T.
Well, but
that is the major drawback.
Yeah, I mean,
singular AT&T, despite the fact that they are the company who now has the iPhone, is still not the best company out there. And their claims that they have the fewest drop calls and the service is still terrible. The sound on the calls is still terrible. And I mean, if the iPod magically cleans that up somehow, then good for those people. But I will wait the 2 years that it will probably take
for
the iPhone to come to Verizon, and I will stay with Verizon until then.
All right. So now that you've said your piece, I respect your opinion almost, but not everyone out there agrees with you. And I'm not going to say that I don't. It's just that debate and, you know, which service is better and which service has drop calls and better call quality and better coverage and on is one that's never going to end. But in your opinion,
right,
and I respect that opinion almost.
Solely my opinion.
That's something that you hold against it. Personally, what I hold against it is the fact that the keyboard is, in this I'm talking about the QWERTY keyboard that pops up when you mm-hmm. need to go send a message.
Like text messaging?
Yeah, you do have to be rather careful with it. And pushing the buttons in general takes a certain timing to learn.
And grace.
Yeah, it's just that they try to detect accidental clicks, you know, if you were to just brush up against something. So you kind of have to push it for, in my mind, what is a little bit too long, but that's just for me because I'm trying to go as quickly as possible.
Sure.
If you step back and you say, all right, I'm going to kind of get into a rhythm and work with this machine and hit things, you can be really fast and you can have a really good experience. You can switch between web browser pages, you know, download pages themselves and begin reading them with images over the Edge network, which as much criticism as there is to the fact that it's just Edge and not 3G to get its internet and data, mm-hmm. It's really not that bad. It is very bearable. I would much prefer it having 3G built in, but it's workable with the Edge. When you have it over Wi-Fi, when you have it connected to your local access point in your house or wherever, it's almost just as fast as a computer. That's my quick take on it.
And my opinion is, since we're talking about my opinion, is that
we weren't.
These kind of bugs and these kind of setbacks that they're experiencing now, such as the ones Fantastic mentioned, I think will all be nice and ironed out by the time it comes to Verizon.
Well, I think with any technology, you hit some bugs or you hit some bugs early on. Not to mention that, but really, I think probably the truest test to any form of new technology is actual users, is actual play testing, if you will. I can't think of the right word, but people actually experiencing the phone. And while it's great, it might have worked in labs, and it might have even worked in some sort of market research and market testing. Until you actually have the phone in the hands of large groups of people, varying demographics, varying phone skills, iPod skills, mm-hmm. technology skills, you're not going to be able to really pinpoint the little bitty errors, the little small things that might be a little bit more unique or might just pop up during regular use. And so naturally, in the second or third incarnation of the product, those things would theoretically be addressed. I mean, that's any technology.
Yeah, and what I'd want to add to that, too, is the way that I judge the products is over their entire lifespan. And, you know, you could buy something, for instance, I bought like routers maybe early on that you download firmware revisions later on that would add features that really made the router a lot better device to have.
Right.
And I think that the iPhone, out of all the phones, is probably best poised to receive these kinds of updates because it hits your computer every time you charge it.
Oh, sure.
You put it down on the dock, it connects to your computer, and I haven't actually witnessed an update yet to the firmware, but I know that there's a lot of speculation that, you know, they'll come out with an iChat client to do instant messaging, updates to the browser, maybe be able to use the keyboard in the horizontal position so it's a little bit wider and alleviate the fact that it's hard to hit the keys, and additional apps. And they've said they're going to come out with these. And to me, that's going to be the real judgment. Is, and as Kev says, as it gets to Verizon, but really in my mind, you know, in the next months and the next 6 months and the next year, what they add and how they refine it in the current hardware version with software. So that's how I judge you.
So the iPhone is out there. iPhone. If you've got one, if you've got an opinion on it, let us know what you think. That's what we think, and we'll probably follow it, I'm sure. I mean, it really is an important piece of technology out there, I think. So,
Kevin?
Yeah, and pop on over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and drop us a line. Let us know, how your experience with your iPhone is going. And, tell us about some of the cool features that you like about the iPhone. Just give us an overall picture if you think it sucks, and tell us that. Definitely tell us that, because, you know, we can't like things here because we're too... Oh, I'm not supposed to say that anymore.
No.
Isn't everyone's mouth filled with saliva?
I think so.
I'm just saying. What else you got?
So this will interest you because you are a huge Watchmen fan.
Oh,
And specifically because you happen to be a pretty big Rorschach fan, I know.
This is true.
There is a viral site online right now. It's Rorschachsjournal.com.
Kevin's already got enough viruses on his computer.
Yeah. Is that the right word, viral?
I guess you mean viral, like viral marketing?
Yeah, like that's viral marketing. Yeah.
I know, I'm just...
Busting my balls.
I'm just kidding you,
you
Matt.
Bastard.
Nice shirt today.
Thanks. It's brand new. Kohl's, baby.
Viral marketing.
Viral marketing website, RorschachJournal.com. If you go to the page, you'll see nothing more than that Rorschach logo, which is the two R's, lowercase R's, kind of facing against each other, so pointing out in each direction. And if you click on it, all it'll do is bring you to an email. So you can send an email to Rorschach, apparently. And people have been getting responses. So someone is monitoring the emails. I mean, the first instance of responses that I saw was actually Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News. If you go to Ain't It Cool News, you can read kind of the back and forth that he had with quote-unquote Rorschach. But I guess through the magic of the internet, the big geeks out there, bigger than us if you can believe it, have figured out some other secret hidden messages that are built into the website. So if, for example, you pull up the site and you go to view the source code for the site, there is a dead link embedded in the source code. If you copy and paste said link into a web browser, it will pull you to another page that doesn't look any different as far as the logo is concerned, but it has a series of dots and dashes, Morse code, in the header bar of the browser.
Right.
And so now people have been taking the Morse codes and running it through a Morse code translator and posting some of the messages that are on there. And it's apparently a bunch of stuff that's related to Rorschach, the book, and we hope the upcoming movie. So it's definitely kind of neat, definitely kind of interesting. I've been checking it out pretty much every day, so see if there's new stuff up.
The viral marketing and alternate reality games, the ARGs that are out there to support these products, most notably the one that I know of is Halo. There are others. ilovebees.com and Iris is the one for Halo 3, I believe it's called. I like to read about them, but I just can't get into it because it's just like you have to stare at the page, you have to do the research. I don't have the time to do this shit.
Well, to be honest with you, the first couple of days I was checking them out myself and I kind of wanted to go through the motions of running it through the Morse code and stuff like that, which is great, but it did definitely kind of So now, like, once or twice a day, if you hit any of the important comic to movie websites or movie related websites, you could pretty much find people who have already done the work and just read what each little blurb is and get a feel for it and appreciate it without doing the legwork, which...
Yeah, you can usually find a site that ends in the suffix of pedia about anything that's based on the wiki engine, the media wiki engine, and then somebody else will explain it to you. That's
I'm sure if you probably did a search, I haven't tested it, but if you did a search in the Wikipedia for Rorschach's journal, I'm pretty positive someone has probably started updating it as such.
I think it's funny that that this particular viral marketing campaign that they're doing here has to do with the internet and decoding the internet and speaking with Rorschach via the internet, because this book is supposed to take place in like 1986 or 87,
mm-hmm.
where there wasn't a wide use of the internet or really any at all. So
suspend your disbelief.
Well, that's not the point. The point is that they've made such a big deal with regards to the film about keeping the timeline accurate, because if you read The Watchmen, what you learn is that it really is very much about the politics of the day that it was written.
It's very Cold War-ish.
Yes, and that being said, I find it interesting that they are kind of shifting the viral marketing to something that wasn't prevalent in
what else are they going to do?
But you know what? I agree with you, and I understand. But I think if you kind of look at it as a cryptic kind of secret thing that you kind of have to be a little bit in the know about, it almost still kind of works, because I mean, you know, there was some sort of network, you know, internet. I mean, I guess it was the internet, but it wasn't as widely used as it is today. But
well, in the '80s, yeah, there weren't a network that you would have been on. No.
Do you remember Matthew Broderick would dial the phone and then put it in that cradle thing?
Yeah, but
the
but
modem.
The modem. The point that I'm making, right? The point that I'm making as like a hacker, a la Matthew Broderick in
Zor.
War Games. You know, maybe that's the kind of guy that would be decrypting these messages and piecing stuff together. I think there's a certain amount of crypticness that's buried in there that kind of almost plays to it. And again, I think it's also just a viral marketing is a huge way to promote anything.
Yeah, that's true. No, so, I'm not decrying its value as a viral marketing tool. What I'm decrying its value as is the fact that I thought maybe that they would figure out a way, and I don't know what way it would be. I can't personally think of one where they would make it more accurate or more.
All right, so you're looking for an 80s themed viral marketing game. What did you like in the 80s?
Pac-Man.
So.
You have a Rorschach head because it goes and eats dots.
I was thinking, instead of bouncing cherries, perhaps a bouncing Rorschach.
You know, what
or maybe
if
the dots in the Pac-Man screen are Morse code?
What if Rorschach was going along the girder and he had to climb up the ladders but then jump over the barrels that the big monkey was throwing at him?
This is why you don't come up with these viral marketing schemes.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Do not hire Kev
to come up with viral marketing schemes. If you have other things to do, though, I'm open.
He's interested. What else, brother?
I don't have a lot else. I think coming into the holiday, it was kind of quiet this
week. Well, there's
comics are a week behind, so we have no CSN to kind of comment
comics,
on.
Comics will be coming out Thursday this week, and which actually, by the time you hear this, comics will have come out.
They will.
And also, DVDs this week were, shall we say, scant.
I have some news in my personal life, and by that I mean my personal comic life, in that
I do too.
I've read that over the weekend.
Ooh, excellent. Well,
what?
Kingdom Come, I'm guessing.
Kingdom Come.
Oh, that's not really from Kingdom Come, but yeah, okay, that's cool.
Well, it sure looks like it.
What Mr. Fantastic is referring to is the Alex Ross painting called The Original Seven. We have a print of it hanging here in the studio.
Yeah, I guess that's a younger Superman there, huh?
Yeah, and Batman. It's The Original Seven is what it's referred to as. And the artist is the same. But
like,
you read...
You have one? You have one?
A Kingdom Come one?
I thought you had a Kingdom Come one somewhere over here.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I read it.
Okay. What'd you think?
I just didn't get the whole dilemma. All the other characters that they come up with, that he comes up with, it's just like they're out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out of control. And I'm supposed to buy it? Oh, they're out of control. Why are these supposed heroes out of control?
They've lost their way.
They've lost their way. So they got nothing to do, so they're just fighting?
Well,
that's the weakest premise I've ever...
The premise is not that they're out of control. The premise is, what are you going to do about it?
Well, you know, it comes down to the decision of Superman to either, you know, I don't even know what the hell it was about, and I read the whole thing.
That's true. I'm glad you brought up this topic. For all its beautiful art and for all its rich storytelling, Kingdom Come is a very thick book. It's a very DC historically intensive book.
Like, I did
DC
get a sense for that.
Does a lot of the time. What was the most recent one? Crisis, Infinite Crisis, yeah. Infinite Crisis, and even Crisis on Infinite Earths, which Infinite Crisis is sort of the sequel of. They're very thick. They're very enriched and dense in DC history, that if you don't know some of those things, you don't know some of those relationships, you don't know some of those characters, it will make it very difficult to parse a book like Kingdom Come.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it I could extrapolate and just kind of assume, all right, at some point, Wonder Woman and Superman get together.
Did it.
And that happens in Kingdom Come. Sorry to spoil it for all of you people who are, what is it, 15 years behind, like me?
I think it's longer than that, isn't it?
But
I have to check.
I mean, those like little incidental side things, I could get over. It was just the main story arc, that it was just these guys are running rampant, and now Superman has to put together a group of, you know, do-gooders to...
Old heroes.
Yeah, of
old
dust people,
off.
Basically. To And it's only 10 years after... So he's supposed to be like 50 or 53, but he's got the mentality of a guy from the 50s, or, you know, the late 40s.
Well, he is who he is when he grew up, so... I mean, they're not drastically going to change the character despite the fact that he's aged and so on and so forth.
I mean,
there's a lot about the book to be enjoyed. I think the art certainly is probably the best thing about the book. I agree that with Fantastic's assessment that it is a kind of a little bit of a kind of a reach in some places, and that's fine. But I'll be honest with you. I think the best part of the book is the epilogue. Bruce and Clark and Diana go to a superhero themed restaurant called Planet Krypton, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be like Planet Hollywood.
Right.
They have all sorts of actual superhero memorabilia, if you will, hanging in the place, and all the waiters are dressed as
superheroes
or sidekicks and the like. And, the interplay between those three characters in that setting is probably the best thing about the book. For example, and I'd really like you all to go out and read it and make your own opinion. Of course, we always say here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you should definitely go out and read these things and make your own opinion. But the one thing I will tell you is, and the only thing I will tell you, when the waitress comes over to the table dressed as Robin... and says, "Hi, I'm Robin. I'm here to take your order." Bruce looks at her and says, "Of course you are." And you can just hear his voice that he is so disgusted by his surroundings. That and when she says, "Can I take your order?" And Clark orders milk, Diana orders juice, and Bruce orders black coffee and keep it coming. I mean, you really are just, you're absolutely breaking down the characters to essentially who they are. And that really, that bit of interplay between the three of them in that epilogue is some fantastic writing and thinking and art.
And now, here's Mr. Fantastic with It's News to Him.
My assessment will be the whole thing. Looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's the art is brought together by what I would consider to be a lame excuse of a story, but the interplays and little background histories that you if you have insight into, you can appreciate the characters in those positions. Overall, I would give it a two.
I'm Mr. Fantastic, and that's news to me.
And that's news to Mr. Fantastic.
Excellent.
We are breaking out some of the old school stingers here tonight.
Woo-wee! I do have two more things tonight that I'd like to hit on quickly. One is my personal comic update, but I'll save that for a second. I'm going to go with the Kingdom Come-related bit, since we were just talking about that. Have you seen DC Direct's Reactivated Series 3? I think it's Series 3.
That they're Kingdom Come
figures?
They're
all Kingdom Come figures, but yes. On regular cards.
On regular cards. Yes, I have seen that. Don't know how I feel about that. I don't think the figures have been changed.
No, the whole idea behind the reactivated figures, they were making figures that had been previously released, available to the public again. Available to the public again.
Available.
Yeah, apparently. And but one of the things that we have really been praising DC Direct for all along is for keeping that Kingdom Come packaging with the Kingdom Come figures.
Right.
So to see them suddenly pop up on these really kind of anticlimactic,
ordinary cards,
blister cards.
Right.
I don't know. And to be honest with you, it detracts from the figures.
Okay, but let's say this. Let's say this also before we jump too far ahead. That is not what they're doing with the new characters they released, because in the upcoming Elseworlds series, I want to say it's series 4,
mm-hmm.
Will have Kingdom Come Blue Beetle in it.
Yes, I saw.
And
very nice.
He will be in, my understanding, he will be in the regular packaging mm-hmm. that we have come to enjoy for the series. So the question is really, as a completist, say an Alex Ross completist or a DC Direct completist or a Kingdom Come completist, do you then go and get these reissued figures on the new card? That's the dilemma I am
facing. Well, I guess it depends on whether or not you keep your Kingdom Come figure sealed or not. Obviously, if you don't keep them sealed, then it...
I can't tell if that's a backhanded compliment or...
To who?
To you, or whatever the hell you... it seems like he's criticizing your giant jumble of figures you have over there.
What, him?
Yeah.
No, he's criticizing the fact that I think that people who keep things in the packages are posers.
Oh, that too.
And what I meant is their entire collection in packages. For example, if you collected Star Wars for, say, 10 years and all your stuff was in packages, you have any of it open for display, that's kind of poserish to me.
Perhaps if I was only a Star Wars collector, you might have just saying.
This isn't about you. Everything isn't about you.
Well, let's
OG.
Talk about something that is about me.
Okay.
My personal comic update.
My shirt.
I've wandered into a random store the other day that I saw that was opened by my office. You know, normally I get my books directly from Retailer X via the mail.
Right.
But I saw this store open up, and I thought maybe I should go and check it out. Perhaps I should wander in and see what's about and see what's on the shelf, see what's unique, maybe. And I walked out of there with, like, 10 issues of Knights at the Dinner Table. That's it.
Really?
Just Knights at the Dinner Table.
Were they on sale?
No. I just had some huge hankering to read that book.
You know they collect that.
I knew. Bundles of Trouble. I picked up about 4 or 5 Bundles of Trouble and then like 4 or 5 of the most current issues so I can kind of jump back into the regular storyline.
Right.
And that might be the comic book that really brings me back into reading comics on a regular basis.
Now, why don't you explain to us what Knights of the Dinner Table is?
Okay, so Knights of the Dinner Table is, it is a comic book, but essentially it's actually a magazine. Each issue is actually a magazine, and it's pretty much about gaming. Every aspect of gaming that you can think about. New games coming out, reviews of games, even some material for games that currently exist, you know, character sheets and stuff like that. But in between all of that, there are strips that go on that are about a series of gamers that pretty much sit around their table or at a bar and game or talk about gaming. And that's it. I mean, really, it's just about gaming. The game that they focus on most commonly in Knights of the Dinner Table is Hackmaster,
which has been released
as an official game.
As an official game, you can actually get Hackmaster. I don't know the name of the company.
Hackmaster's Guide. It's actually, I believe, it's Kenzer.
Oh, is it Kenzer
putting it out? Yeah, oh. Kenzer is the company that puts out Knights of the Dinner Table, and you know, it's kind of like a really coked out version of Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know how else to describe it. It's really just a hack and slash game.
Should we talk about our favorite strip?
I have so many, but which one are you talking about? I have two that always come
to
mind.
And what we should say about this too is, generally speaking, the panels don't change.
Oh no, it's three guys
at
a
table,
GM
and then
sitting
a GM,
a
game master, sitting at one end of the table, and then the voice bubbles change depending on what's going on. Mm-hmm. So the game master says in one of the strips, okay, you see a giant gazebo appear in front of you. And the three guys start saying things like, I'm bringing a magic bolt, a fireball online. I'm drawing my sword. And the GM is, and they're like, what is it? What does the gazebo do? And the GM goes, nothing. It's just standing there. And they start attacking the gazebo because they don't know what a gazebo is. Yeah. They think it's a big monster in front of them. That's one of the funniest descriptive things regarding gaming that I've ever read.
Ever. So for some reason, it really has kind of brought a little bit of the gamer back out in me, I think. I think I want to start exploring some tabletop stuff again.
You know, you've been threatening this for like 3 years, and die in your presence.
Hey, you know what, though? But I get the itch. It's been so long since I've sat around a table and really played a good long campaign. Uh-huh. I've had little offshoots here and there and a couple of one-shots.
Right.
But unfortunately, for whatever reason, they seem to fizzle too quickly. But
I think it's because Andrew played a chick.
Well, Andrew did play a chick. It's true. And that really does make it awkward. But I have the hankering. I want to play. I want to eat fucking Funyuns and Mountain Dew and listen to Led Zeppelin. No, wait, I don't want to do that. But wow. I really do want to play. I really want to get a game of something going.
A little peek into the past of OG for a second.
You know, another friend of the show has recently lost his mind and purchased all of the Zombies and Zombies expansions that are out there. And our good friend Ken. I know, but I was looking at them the other day and I was holding the little glow in the dark radioactive zombies from that one expansion. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I gotta fucking play zombies. And it's just bad news. Bad things come from this.
Well, hopefully what will come from this is a good game for the rest of us. What else? Do you have anything else over there
nothing else.
Well, in that case, I think we should take a break.
Sure.
And we'll either come back with Mycobus Prime and our discussion of the Transformers movie, or we'll come back with a special guest.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Always perhaps with this place. Oh, God, another spot? I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. Is that the URL?
Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL? The phone number?
The phone number?
Yeah.
973? What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking page up!
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial?
Well, what if they want to fax their order?
You're insulting them! They're a sponsor of the show! You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated!
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga.
Yo, you gotta respond at least. What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this. Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I going to make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788 or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she
like a samba that's...
Hey there, this is David Wenham from Lord of the Rings and 300, and you're very fortunate because you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Enjoy.
That he made his wife and son submit by using the chokehold.
Oh, that's a bad taste.
Oh, is he recording?
Yeah, we're back.
All right, we are back.
Geek.
Sorry.
You're both going geek. To hell.
No.
Well, you know.
Only one of us told the joke, sir. I was a victim of the joke,
not
a precipitator.
Hey, I read that somewhere.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 64.
More than meets the eye.
Is that what we're calling this?
Yeah, man.
Did we say that earlier?
It is the Transformers episode, baby.
Ugh, good gravy. So
we
we're going
to
tackle
this.
We're going
to
use the line as badly as they used it in the flick, huh?
You know, I didn't mind it the second time Prime used it. But when Shea used it to Megan Fox, it was a little gay.
Yeah, well.
What do you think, sir?
I liked it. I thought all the humor was very well placed.
We should remind the audience, of course, Mike Abyss Prime joining us this evening to discuss the Transformers movie, which we hosted. Is open now. It's out there. It's for everybody to see. Make your own opinion.
Right. So
I have no cool robot voice.
That's all right. Maybe we could do something with an effect later.
I don't know. No, he's on the same band as me. We would have to switch bands then put him on his own. We actually could do it. There is a filter that does it.
It's way too much technical information for the audience.
Why don't
we get into the movie? I have been, eagerly awaiting this movie.
In fact, you were so eager, we had to come up with this. Stinger, which annoyed everybody for months.
Oh, come on. It was a fan favorite.
Oh, my God.
But I have been eagerly waiting for this movie since I heard the slightest inkling that it was going to happen. Been following it every single step of the way. And I was so jazzed, no pun intended, to see it the other night.
Jazzed.
And I loved it. I only had one scene that I was kind of like, meh, but I still loved it.
Well, like jazz, the movie just tore me in half.
Aww.
So, I don't...
No, nothing?
I don't know what to say. I mean, it really... it looked very cool.
Okay.
But I have a point and counterpoint to everything. Yes, it looked very cool, but it was very difficult when they were transformed, particularly when they're fighting each other, to discern who was who. There was a little difficulty in that.
Okay, and I see that. But I think, I'm going to get your opinion on this in a second, but I think that what this movie was really trying to do, and I think I've been saying this all along, is they were trying to take a concept that worked really well in a toy line and in a cartoon and add a certain amount of reality to it, or as much reality as you can add to it, to bring it to the film and bring it up to date. And I think that by having a certain amount of confusion amongst who was an Autobot and who was a Decepticon, it added a little bit to what the people screaming in the streets were going through, what the army was going through, who was on their side, who wasn't on their side. And it almost kind of worked. Whether it was deliberate or not, I can't say for sure, obviously, but it kind of worked for me in the realism of the movie. What do you think?
No, I do agree. I actually agree with both of you. I am a little nutty when it comes to this stuff, so I've been following trailers left and right, and I can remember my first Transformers, so you get a general idea of who's who. But for the average fan, I'm sure they were kind of like, oh, who's that? Oh, look, it's a robot. Oh, I don't know.
I think one of the things that the cartoon had, and the comic books had, and the toys had, obviously, that the movie didn't have was a really distinct color palette. Also, I think with the exception of Bumblebee and Prime, who were so obviously colored in the movie. I mean, you couldn't miss Prime's flames from a mile away, and Bumblebee was bright freaking orange, kind of yellow. Yes, Prime was flaming. And had lips, but we'll get there.
That was weird.
But I mean, I think with the exception of those two characters, the color palette of the rest of them was so
mute.
Drab. Was so mute. Yeah, yeah, it was so drab that did lend a certain amount of difficulty into picking out the character or who was who.
It was easy to tell with some of them, like Mike Abyss, who was the cop car.
Barricade.
Right. So Barricade, who was a Decepticon, you can tell him more than some of the other ones because you could see parts of the police car were very visible. Yet guys like the weapons specialist Autobot.
Or Ironhide, even Ironhide, Devastator.
Right, like those guys.
Bone Crusher. Once they're in robot form, it's
difficult to tell them apart. Very difficult to tell them apart. And I think that detracted it for me for a little bit. Not to say that the effects and the, you know, how it was done overall wasn't very cool. It certainly was.
Do you have something fantastic?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, all right then.
But well, thanks for ruining it and not playing the spoiler bit this whole time.
Yeah, I guess we only ruined it for fantastic.
Nah.
Nah.
Nah. Come on.
I don't care what anybody says. I still loved it. As a diehard fan, I loved it. And all the people who are absolutely bashing Bumblebee being changed and Prime's got flames and Megatron's a jet and...
Was he a jet?
Well, he was... In the movie, correct me if I'm using the wrong terminology, but in the movie, he never actually picked a human form. So he was in his proto form. Is that the right?
Yes.
His promo form was some sort of alien jet. You do see him transform into a jet in a couple of scenes, especially when he breaks out at the end and does that whole little... He's a jet. So, yeah, but he never actually picks up an alien human form.
Okay. So I was absolutely just so enthused about everything. Again, I don't care what anybody says. If you don't like it, it's very simple. You just don't go see it.
There you go.
I mean, it's certainly for long-time Transformers fans, you're going to go see it. Even if you were a slight Transformers fan, you're going to go see it. You're looking for crazy blockbuster movies and so forth. You're definitely going to go check this out. There's no question about that.
I think something that I need to reiterate here, Mike, is something I've been saying all along, is that I think the way to approach this movie is you're going to see characters that you are familiar with from the original Transformers, but much like different generations of Transformers, different incarnations of the Transformers, aka Beast Wars or something like that, this is just another version of the Transformers. So, you know, Optimus Prime was an ape in Beast Wars.
Optimus Primal.
Yeah. So now he's a truck with flames on him. I mean, I think really all it is it's the same characters. And personality-wise, I think the personalities come through pretty, pretty close, especially in the Autobots. You don't get to see a lot of that in the Decepticons, but especially in the Autobots, I think it comes through. But I think you need to treat these are the characters in name and personality, but the look is going to be a little bit different. Get over it. It's just a new incarnation. It's a new realization of characters that you have grown to love, perhaps in the past.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that. I just had trouble telling them apart sometimes.
I know, yeah. Well, let's go over some of the other stuff. Particularly, the only scene that I had a major issue with, we went over your issue, we'll go over mine, then we'll hit up yours next, Mike. And I didn't hate the scene. I thought maybe it was a little long, perhaps. This would be the scene where the Autobots are all behind Sam's house, and Sam is inside the house looking for his great-great-grandfather's eyeglasses. It was kind of silly, and I was rolling with the jokes, and it was kind of funny, but I thought it reached a point where it had you know, like the bad Family Guy jokes. Hokey. Sometimes they go on just a scotch too long. I thought they went on just a little too long. Just a little. That was the only real complaint that I had. Anybody? Same scene?
Doing,
like scene?
Are we still doing like scenes or hate scenes? I like Megan Fox as a hot POA.
Well, how could you not?
But there's no way that girl was in high school.
No, but that's okay.
And while we're at it, who's the other young lady in the flick?
That would be Rachel Taylor.
Thank you, Micabus Prime. Rachel Taylor.
Hottie.
Hot. Portraying some sort of code wizard.
No.
No?
No, she was. I'm saying just...
No, it didn't work.
No.
So we're agreeing.
Oh, good.
Yes, we are agreeing.
Because, code breaker or not, why does she have to dress like she's going to the club?
Porn star by night?
Hey, man.
Code breaker by day, porn star by night?
Well, she was a transformer.
There it is.
Oh, my God. You didn't just say that.
Come on. It was... Cheesy joke of the night.
Reaching is ding, what ding, it ding. Was.
Nothing.
Ding, ding,
something.
Ding.
Anything. Car crash.
That was, I mean, we granted, Hollywood movie.
Sure.
Of course. You're going to have beautiful women in it. That's fine. No one's saying that there shouldn't be beautiful women in it. But what is this girl? Is this girl a junior, Megan Fox, junior or senior in high school? She looked 24 years old. Hot and 24, but 24. And the other one,
Rachel Taylor.
Rachel Taylor again was, you know, like we said, it almost brought me out of it a little too much. If they had dumbed her down a little, put her in some pants, put some glasses on her, she still would have been hot, and I would have bought it. I'm talking about Rachel Taylor, Megan Fox. I don't know what they could have done to Megan Fox. First of all, to cool her down.
Nothing.
And second of all, to convince me that she was in high school. I mean, I just think, not going to say it's bad casting. It's a summer blockbuster. You got to get your pretty people in there, and that's fine. But I mean, it was jarringly unconvincing.
Okay. So that's. I mean, look, it's a legitimate criticism. Mikey, I know you love the film. I know you're a huge fan, but you had to have at least a couple of minor criticisms. Everybody does.
I absolutely do.
So what is it that you, if you could change, or maybe you didn't like particularly a portrayal, what were they? Lay them out for us.
Put me in the movie.
Well, obviously.
No, actually, it was the scene where they're calling out all the Decepticons, and you know, they're trying to, everybody's en route. And you see the subtitles, and Starscream is en route, Barricade en route. Then you see what the tank, which was supposed to be Brawl, the M1 Abrams tank, is now Devastator. And immediately following Devastator is the, I think it is a Force One protection vehicle for mines and whatnot. Bonecrusher, who is one of the Constructicons that forms Devastator. So how do you have the entire form of the Constructicons and one single Constructicon? It didn't really work for me. That was the only...
Let's explain that a little bit. So back in the day in the cartoon,
right,
the Decepticons, who are the bad guys here, came up with this this new robot called Devastator.
Yes.
Devastator was comprised or made up of a bunch of smaller little bots.
Voltron. Think Voltron.
Think like Voltron with the lions that always come together from Voltron. Well, the Transformers had some too, and it was made from the Constructicons, right?
Correct.
So the Constructicons, who were these other little robots, would get together, form feet and legs. Well, I mean, not in this case, but they would form...
form feet and legs.
Tank treads and so on. And they would come together and they would form this robot who's now being portrayed as just a regular Decepticon. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure that I got that right.
Okay. So I only have one other... I don't know if it's a gripe, but I think I found it a little hard to swallow. And then we can move on to the stuff we really liked or enjoyed about the film. The ability to transform into more than one thing or change what you are, it happens in the film in a couple instances, most particularly with Bumblebee and with Frenzy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that the only two that does this?
Well, when the other Autobots come down after Bumblebee signals them, they
go from proto-form to
correct. Yeah,
human
form.
You
see Jazz outside a car dealership, and he's checking out a Pontiac Solstice, and he's specking it out, and all of a sudden he's the Solstice.
Right. So, but that makes sense to me. I was totally down with that. That was actually a really cool scene. I liked them scoping it out. I liked when Prime scoped out the freaking truck, and all of a sudden, boom, Prime.
Absolutely
fucking
agreed.
Awesome. It was like the yes. birth of a hero. But with Frenzy and Bumblebee, what I'm talking about specifically here is Frenzy, when we're introduced to him as a character, he's a little Transformer, a little robot dude, kind of annoying, kind of reminiscent of the Frenzy we know from the cartoon, at least in size. Right, because originally he was a cassette that came out of Soundwave, right? So size, he's still kind of small. He's still kind of like a mini-com, but not quite. So he changes into a boombox, right, at first. Which
away throws me off.
Throws you off because you wanted it to be Soundwave. But he wasn't a tape player. He was a CD player. So there's a little difference there. But that aside, later in the movie, he changes into a cell phone. So he's got this ability to actually change what he's changing into. And Bumblebee starts out as an older 77 Camaro.
He was
that
a 76.
76 Camaro. And changes into an 07 Camaro.
07, 08, 09. Who the hell knows?
Yeah. Megan Fox makes some comment about if he could change into anything he wanted to, why does he turn into this piece of crap old Camaro or whatever? Bumblebee kind of kicks him out of the car, does a spin around, and comes back. And he's like shiny, new, badass Camaro. I don't know how I feel about their ability to change more than once.
Well, they are Transformers.
I understand that, but their robot to vehicle, a robot to whatever form has always lent a certain amount of character to them, but it's also lent a certain amount of limitation to them and what they can do in that form. If you start allowing them to multiform, I think it kind of takes away from their unique characteristics. Theoretically, they all start becoming or could become one of the same at any one point in time. It just seemed to take away from the individuality of that character. Not so much in Bumblebee, more in Frenzy, I think. But Frenzy doing it just leads me to believe that it could happen again. Yes, no, maybe so?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I don't know.
I don't think they gave I don't mean to interrupt you. I don't think they gave a plausible reason why they shouldn't.
I don't think they did either, but again, I think it's just always been you associate each character with a shape. Well, and when you change it,
Yeah, but that goes back to what we were originally saying. I mean, we certainly associate those characters with colors and shapes also.
Right, but I'm not talking about associating them with... I'm not talking about associating the movie version of a character to the original version of a character, but even just within the frame of the movie, right? You associate with Frenzy as a boombox for the first 45 minutes of the movie, and then all of a sudden he's a cell phone.
Well, that was just his head that was the cell phone.
Oh, that's right, because he was separated from the rest of his body, wasn't that it? But still, I don't know.
But still, no, you're right.
It just, to me, it detracted a little bit from the uniqueness of what the Transformers are. But it's a minor gripe, really, overall, and what I think was a really fun movie. I think Michael Bay, one of the things he's been able to prove time and time again, is the ability to...
Blow shit up,
which you see a lot of in this, but provide you with a really solid, fun action-packed movie. And if you hate the Transformers and you hate the concept of the Transformers, at the very least, you have to appreciate the action sequences in this movie. I mean, I think they were really, really well done. The CGI effects were really, really well done. I don't know. I think Michael Bay really outdid himself this time.
As I said, one of my big fears going into this movie was the fact that is it really going to be just about the CGI and not so much about the story? And I have to say that I'm pleasantly surprised that there was more story elements to enjoy in it than not enjoy, and it wasn't simply a CGI movie.
Right.
You remember when we were talking about my fears, I said that Twister was a great movie with lots of great effects, but the story was god-awful.
was terrible.
So I'm pleased that there was at least some part of the story elements here that I could enjoy. And we should also point out the comedic skills of characters like Anthony Anderson and
yes. Bernie Mac.
And Bernie Mac.
Two of my favorite performances in the whole movie.
And Turturro. Also John Turturro.
Oh, John Turturro is awesome in this movie.
I mean, there's a lot of fun moments that allow you to break up a little bit, which is really good. I mean, it's chock full. It's got something for everybody. I mean, this is as positive a review as I can give it because, I mean, you know, in the long and short of it, I liked it way more than I thought I was going to, but I still don't think it's, you know, this knockdown, drag out, super mega blockbuster movie.
As compared to some other knockdown, breakout, blah, 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 more adjectives that I can't remember what you just said, movie. I agree with you, but I don't know that, I mean, I was hoping that it would be that because obviously I want to see a sequel made, but really I was hoping to just get a hint of nostalgia, have a lot of fun doing it, and just, you know, feel like a kid again while I was watching the movie. I wanted to have that sense of, this is me as a kid watching the Transformers again. And I, you know, to a certain degree, I had that with some of the Star Wars prequels, although we know what blunders they yes, were.
Or it really felt like a kid again because he was talking down right. to you like one.
But that's what I got. I mean, like from the opening segment of the movie to the bits and pieces that are scattered throughout the credits, I had fun. I enjoyed myself. I don't think that at any one point in time I was overly agitated. I found myself critiquing parts of the movie, but I think that's just a natural reaction to the film. But I had fun. I had a good time watching the movie. And some of the stuff was way better done than I thought it was going to be. And a lot of the stuff looked a lot cooler than I thought it was going to be. I mean, fucking A, man. The transformations, the mid movement transformations from like vehicle to robot to movement of robot, some of them are just awesome. What's the one again that I was talking about earlier that was essentially skating after Prime?
Oh, the Bonecrusher.
Bonecrusher has this scene where he's chasing Prime. Prime as the truck, Bonecrusher as his vehicle, the
Force One protection vehicle.
The Force One protection vehicle. They're doing this highway chase. Prime transforms into a robot and starts cutting ass fucking down the street, and Bonecrusher, boom, robot form, and the wheels pop underneath his feet, and he's essentially skating, and the movements are like a skate, like an ice hockey player, like an NHL player getting ready to check someone. It was just really well done. It was fluid. It looked really nice. It seemed really seamless. I think
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. The next Hollywood superstar.
Apparently.
I think he did a really awesome job. I really do think he did a great, great job in this movie. And it almost gives me a little bit of comfort of what I may be able to expect in Indy 4 when it comes out. That's just me.
I did like Shia in the movie.
Yeah. I mean,
he made it look like he was actually looking at the robots.
He interacted very well with the CGI, and I'd love to know if he was using a prop, or if there were anything that he was actually looking at. I'd love to know. I'd love to see the behind-the-scenes featurette.
Face on a stick.
Yeah, exactly. How did they do it with Roger Rabbit? It was that little hydraulic in the sink that was actually spitting out the water, but had the little bunny ears on it, so that Peter... Anyway, I like the movie. I thought it was good. I think it lived up to what I hoped it was going to be. I hope to see a sequel. I hope to see more Decepticons. I hope to see the Decepticons developed a little bit more in the sequel. But I think it was a success, and I think we can probably expect to see a sequel.
I would hope there's a sequel, especially after the way it ended.
Oh, it totally left it open for
a
sequel.
There's no way. The only way it would have been more clear is if a face popped up or something, some titles popped up on the screen, there's a sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would have been slightly more clear.
So that's it. I think that's going to wrap up the Transformers review segment for now. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back in a couple minutes with a wrap-up.
Is that what we're coming back with?
I think so.
Are we scrapping the other
guests? I think we have to. I think for multiple reasons, we have to put our special guests on hold again. We like to tease the listeners of geek stuff.
Yeah, but Mike Oeming is a good guest.
Shh.
Did you know that you can advertise with Big Kev's Geek Stuff and reach tens of thousands of people a day?
Actually, Kev, it's over 10,000 people a month.
And that your advertisement can be seen on our home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, by literally millions of people.
Not quite that much, Kev.
And did you know that we have advertising packages available for every budget, even if you got only a penny?
There's no penny advertising plans, Kev.
Do I know anything about advertising?
Not at all.
On this show? Well, maybe you should tell us more about it.
For more information on advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can go to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link, or shoot us an email at BigKev'sGeekStuff@gmail.com.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it.
Hello, this is Pee Wee Herman.
I know you are, but what am I?
And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know!
And we are back with this riveting episode of Geek Stuff, episode 64, More Than Meets the Eye. We're going to have to put our specialness on hold.
Apparently, we are going to have to, due to technical difficulties beyond Fantastic's control, we're going to have to put our guest Mike Oeming on hold until episode 65.
We could have done another, like, you know, answer machine bit, but that was a little played out.
He doesn't
like,
even talk on his answering machine, so we can't really do that. Yeah. So it'll be episode 65, the one with Mike Oeming in it.
We hope so.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying
it's done.
Let's do a quick wrap up
okay.
for tonight's show. We talked about BreakingAtmo.com, website dedicated to getting the Serenity DVD up into space on the new shuttle in
just
the space station and that television series too. And it was successful. You can check out the site. You can check out our site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, to see some of those images. I think it's a great, great testament to, again, the strength of the brown coat movement. Getting the DVDs into space, that's pretty big.
We talked about the release of the iPhone.
We did.
And whether it's good, whether it's bad, we all have an opinion. You should go out, spend that $600, and make your own opinion. Or find a friend who has already spent that money and play with his phone.
And break it, because you're vindictive. No? Richard Roundtree, a.k.a. the original Shaft, has been cast in Speed Racer, joining a cast filled with, I don't know, it's a kind of a mishmash of people to me. Emil Hirsch, Christina Ricci, John Goodman, Matthew Fox, and Susan Sarandon. So Richard Roundtree jumping into that cast as Ben Burns, the commentator and hero of Speed Racer.
They call that an ensemble.
Ensemble?
Yes.
You know, I also heard that PETA was brought to the set.
Oh, really?
Of Speed Racer.
You didn't mention that earlier.
Something about...
Chim Chim?
Something about beating a monkey.
Ooh.
Just saying.
Yeesh.
We talked about RorschachsJournal.com. It's a little viral marketing website that you can check out in regards to the character Rorschach from, obviously, Watchmen and the upcoming film. You know, check out the site. It's kind of neat. Once you get a little bit lazy, check out some of the other sites to get the Morse code deciphered for you so you don't have to do it.
In news to him, Fantastic brought to our attention that he recently read Mark Waid and Alex Ross's Kingdom Come.
Ooh.
And he was a little bit befuddled by the story, but he did like the epilogue, which many agree is the best part of the book, as well as the stunning art throughout. You can check out Kingdom Come at your local comic book store. No doubt they will have a copy, or they will be able to get one for you.
And we talked about the Kingdom Come action figures reactivated series 3, is it? Being packaged on typical cardboard and blister, not in that shadow boxy type fancy Kingdom Come packaging that we've come to love.
Which will continue in the Elseworlds
series.
Which
will continue for the new figures, sure. Right, right. And I professed my love again for Knights of the Dinner Table. For those of you who are gamers out there and have never checked out that book, you're doing yourself a disservice. Even if you have a slight inkling of gaming, that book is really, really funny and quirky and definitely worth your time to check out at least an issue or two. I think so, at least.
In our second segment tonight, our guest Micabus Prime came in to discuss the Transformers movie with us. And we want to give Micabus Prime all the thanks that we can for coming in and enlightening us on some of those Transformers facts that we were not aware of.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Of course, sir, you're always welcome in this studio to discuss anything, including Transformers. We'll have you back.
Even my bag?
Even your bag. Your dice bag, I hope you mean, right?
That is correct.
I think that's it. I think that was our show today. Wow. We loved Transformers. Well, I love Transformers. Kev liked it more than he thought.
Yep.
We knew Mikey was going to love it because, well, you know.
He's an addict.
He is an addict. And that's going to wrap up episode 64 of Geek Stuff. Remember, you can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or MySpace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. Send us an email, some feedback, perhaps. Maybe we'll make fun of it. Maybe we won't. We hope you can deal with it.
And we should also say that you can check out some clips on YouTube also, right?
Oh, that's right. We have some teasers out there. It's kind of to get some newbie listeners into the fray. Bring them into the fold, if you will.
True.
And I think that's about it. I think we're going to move on with our evening. So everybody, see you later.
And on that note, we cue the music.